Today, my guest is Dan Burden. Dan runs a website. It's called walklive.org. And would he object if I said he's a complete streets advocate? Maybe that is close. But we're going to get into that in today's show. You're going to get to know Dan very well, and there'll be no confusion at all as to what Dan stands for at the end of the interview. This is CDM Cyclist, and I'm your host, Frank Peters, and we're back together again. I am so pleased to bring you this interview with Dan Burden. Dan, now, the name may ring a bell. You have watched any of the street films videos, the little video shorts. Dan's quite prominent in one or two of them, especially one titled Road Diets. And a road diet is any time you pinch a lane out of a roadway, usually to add a bike lane or improve pedestrian access. That's what Dan's all about. Now, he's good friends with Peter Lagerway in Seattle, and you listened to my interview with Peter last year. When I told Charlie Gandy in Long Beach that I was out to get Dan on the show, oh boy, I heard all kinds of stories of the good old days when Charlie and Dan and Peter all seemed to be on some road show together. And I can picture that. The early days of bicycle advocacy, the Complete Streets movement, these three gentlemen played a big role in it. So it's about time I had Dan on the show. So to actually make contact with Dan, I reached out, tapped Peter Lagerway on the shoulder and asked for the connection. So I got a kick out of the whole process of making contact with Dan. Pretty soon, Peter's made a connection. I'm talking with people via email in Dan's office. They're keen to connect the two of us. And then the suggestion comes up, would I be interested in going to a walking, biking conference in San Diego over a weekend? Dan is going to do a walking audit of San Diego, the Little Italy neighborhood. Well, immediately that made great sense to me for a couple of reasons. One, San Diego is only like 80 miles away. Port Townsend, Washington, quite a bit further. The weather's better too, but I knew that spending that time, what turned out to be a whole morning with Dan, would bring great context to the time we spent together in front of the microphone. And it did. And I'd just like to continue, maybe paint the picture a little bit. I arrive early because I'm looking to beat the traffic, of course, and turns out it's Super Bowl Sunday, so I suspected that might be quiet, and it was easy to get to San Diego from Newport Beach. And as I arrive at the hotel, Dan's setting up in a conference room. He's going to entertain everybody with basically a one-hour slideshow where he talks about all the issues relating to making neighborhoods more walkable. He shares a lot of that in the interview, so I'll save that for just a minute. But one thing that was apparent right away was, as the room filled up, I didn't know how many people to expect, but the crowds kept coming and coming. Dan had done a similar walking audit of La Jolla's Bird Rock just a few days prior, and some people in the room had attended that. How could I tell? Dan had everybody in the room pass around a microphone and introduce themselves. And anyway, it's quite apparent that this is some kind of a love fest, that these people either heard about the Bird Rock walk, or they're eagerly anticipating this tour through Little Italy. And so Dan had us all eating out of the palm of his hand, and his slides were just terrific, showing before and after photos of different neighborhoods, talking about the challenges, and giving us a whole, like, intellectual foundation for what we were going to see later on after we got on the bus and drove to Little Italy. I can't get over what a good time I had. I think it was infectious. It was the world's most perfect day, if you remember that Sunday. But to see the improvements that San Diego had made in this one neighborhood and to see them through Dan's eyes. Myself, I had never visited Little Italy, and so I kept feeling this urge to call my wife and tell her that we have to come down and maybe spend a weekend in Little Italy because it just looks so cozy and comfortable and welcome and appealing. And of course, that's the whole point, is Dan teaching everybody on the tour how to build neighborhoods, how to design streets to convey exactly those kinds of feelings. Well, my interview with Dan was scheduled for right after this walkability audit tour. But I had to wait even longer because so many people on the tour wanted to pose for pictures. There was really just a gang of people around him wanting to know, you know, would he come to their hometown and how much does it cost and when could he come and what are all the details of getting a audit in their neighborhood? And I can see why. I'd love an audit like that in my neighborhood. Well, let's get to the interview.
Dan, what have we been doing the past couple of hours together?
Leading a walking audit, something that is a most powerful of new planning tools that really bring all people in a community together, whether they're advocates or mayors or planning commissioners, engineers, all professionals.
You had an enthusiastic crowd. Some people had been on these tours with you before. What's the big appeal?
I think everybody is now looking for ways that they can make their towns work for people again. And the walking audit is just the most marvelous, natural way for people to see with new eyes what's possible and how easy it is to do it if they just work together.
But there's something about you, Dan, too. You've got a great personality. People respond very well to you there, huh?
It's fun. I'm doing what I love, and I think that comes out in the style. I want people to have fun. I want them to learn. I want them to realize they can be doing it, too. And, yeah, so your personality or charisma comes through.
Yeah. And you started us off with a little classroom experience, which, you know, when I walked in, never having been through this before, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, is that necessary? Can we just all do it on the street? But the classroom, well,
it's important. It really is. It helps people to see how much they're going to get out of the walk, helps them frame it, and to see that it really is a powerful tool. They're not just taking a walk. They're in a walking classroom, and they lead the classroom.
And then to jump right to the end here, we had to wait a few minutes to sit down and have this chat because you're like mobbed by your fans. People want you to come to their hometown, huh?
We were lining up people for Baltimore, for Washington, D.C., Silver Spring, two of the islands in Hawaii, Grants Pass in Oregon. These people now want to do it.
It's part of a nationwide trend, is it?
Oh, yes. Leading walking audits and really getting people to now realize what we left out, that we forgot about people for the last 60 or 70 years as we were building our cities for our cars. We could have been doing it. We should have been doing it all along. Now we realize, holy cow, you know, we're trapped in our cars. We don't have choices. And now people realize the value.
Now, we're in San Diego today. That's where the conference that you've been at for the past few days. So you had to work with San Diego because that's where the conference was. How does San Diego stack up, in your opinion, on walkability?
Well, 30 years ago, when I was really keenly advancing my work in creating walkable and livable communities, I heard about what San Diego was doing, putting in their light rail system, bought a plane ticket, came out, and just learned so much. So I've been able to watch San Diego transform over 30 years, and it's one of the most amazing remakes of a city anywhere in America.
You took us through Little Italy, and I'm sure it's part of like the method of your madness there. For me, what I'm thinking is, well, I'm going to get on the phone and tell my wife, we're going to come down here and spend a weekend. Because it's really, that's, I suppose, the ultimate compliment, huh?
You know, it is. That if people want to spend more time in a place, have a meal or two or walk and visit some of the shops, and it really is what we're looking for, a little Italy, All they had to do was start with taking some extra lanes out that they didn't need in the road and add more parking, add more green, and all of a sudden it just sparked a life that is just makes it a joy to come to San Diego.
It was a joy, yes. Now, San Diego, like so many cities, right, all cities in the U.S. today are, the expression is built out. They have additional challenges, right, Dan?
Yes, it's harder to come back to a central city and reinvent that space than it is to keep going out and sprawling. All the rules were written for sprawl. All the challenges that we face is, first, how do you break the codes that we wrote to destroy cities? And we really, sadly, did that. How do we now rewrite those codes so that making a beautiful, lovely, prosperous city comes naturally, and where every developer will start to line up because we're making the right thing to build the easy thing to build?
Now, city planners, engineers, and the politicians, once they see these like model communities, they're more inclined. Just a few days ago, you took a group to Bird Rock. Would you say a few words about Bird Rock, what they've done there?
Bird Rock, I think, is one of the best remade streets in all of America. It used to be five lanes. It was ugly. The businesses hardly held on. They rotate in and out constantly. It was noisy. Nobody came there. I could stand in, anywhere on the sidewalks and look in all directions and never see another person for maybe an hour. Today, Bird Rock is only two lanes. The traffic is moving at a very pleasant 20 miles an hour, quietly, 70% sound reduction. We took out all the traffic signals, put in roundabouts, loaded it up with landscaping, from five lanes to two lanes, lots of parking, and now it's a very prosperous place, and everybody wants to emulate what Bird Rock did.
So some might say, you can't do that in my neighborhood because we got to move all these cars.
Well, the fun thing about Bird Rock is that we're actually moving cars better today than we were back when it was five lanes. It's not about things being bigger. It's about things being the right size, the right scale, the right compactness so that things will perform better. We're moving traffic through the area in less time at a lower speed.
And the merchants have to love it too, right?
Oh, the merchants. My gosh. When we interviewed folks like the Bird Rock Roasters, one of the better coffee places now in America, they really talk about the huge difference. They were hanging on by a thread before, and now they're just thriving. You can't find a time when there aren't people there either waiting in line or just lingering outside and adding to the atmosphere of La Jolla Boulevard.
So if alternative transportation advocates in your community are pushing for something like this, there's somewhat of a leap of faith, right? You've got to believe and then do all the work before you see all the results. And sometimes it's counterintuitive, right? Removing all that traffic.
Yes, we were building one way for so long. We think we have the answers. Anytime we have a problem, make it bigger, whether it's an intersection, a street, whatever. It turns out to be just the opposite of what is healthy. Now, the Europeans have been getting this right for a long time. So have the New Zealanders and Australians. We refuse to go to somebody else's country and learn engineering or whatever.
Why do you think that is, Dan?
I don't know. I think Americans are going to have to accept the fact that we spend $5,000 to go to Europe to spend a weekend or a week. And the Europeans aren't coming to our country to spend time in our cities. They love our nature and natural places, but they really, really are in love with their cities because they're so good. We need to start to copy what New Zealand, Australia, even Canada, Vancouver, Toronto, doing amazing things. But we have so much to learn from others.
You had several Canadians on the walking audit this morning, and they were quite vocal. They were fun. Now, Dan, you're a little bit famous in my neighborhood. I took your Road Diets, your Street Films Road Diet film, it's only 4 minutes long, and brought it to my last bike safety committee meeting in Newport Beach and showed it. People were very impressed. There's something about that. It's a message that comes across pretty well, huh?
It is. You know, the fun thing is once people start to ask out of curiosity, how can you have less of something and have it perform better? But once you see it on video, once you go and see a street that's been remade, like India Street in Little Italy, all of a sudden it's, oh, yeah, fewer lanes, quieter speeds, easier to park, easier to unpark, buffers for walking. What's not to like?
Dan, how about some advice as we wrap up here? Let's say one of my listeners back home at Newport Beach wants to start one of these walkability audits. What are the top few things that come to mind in terms of kicking that off, getting off on the right foot, so to speak?
I think the most important thing about leading a walking audit is to have a good group of people with you. It doesn't have to be a large group, but it should be a balanced group of people who are staff, they're elected leaders, advocates, people who are retailers, who can learn together, who can develop that common language, who walk away from the walk with new ideas and new inspirations, and now can have that trigger point be met where they're not, we call it the tipping point. They're ready to build that great block, that great corridor, whatever it is, and then learn from that and go on. The walk is the first step for making a city lively.
Yes, I can see that. Dan, how about plug your website?
Our website, walklive.org, and very, very simple. We are constantly loading it with new videos, new literature, and directing people to the best resources.
Thanks so much for joining me on the show today, Dan.
Oh, a great pleasure, Frank. I'm really, really an honor. Thank you so much.
Well, we're back in the studio, and I hate to say goodbye. Like I've said so many times, I had such a wonderful time with Dan. The experience was really bonding. Like I often say about taking a bike ride, right? It's a great way to make new friends, a common experience. It's certainly true with this time I spent with Dan. If you enjoyed the interview, why don't you come by the website, cdmcyclist.com, and leave a comment behind. Dan would love to hear. He'd love to hear from you. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. Good night.